Well, it's a pleasure to be here. It feels like home. We've got our Salt and Light Central family of churches that gather together with our leadership on a fairly regular basis throughout the calendar year. And I've been in this place a number of times. I haven't been on this stage to preach, so I'm honored by that. It was an absolute pleasure to prepare this morning. And I trust that the word that I bring is going to be an encouragement to you as we head into the summer. A bit about Wilma and I. We've been married now, I guess, for about 16, almost going into our 17th year. Not as long as 50. Wow, that's amazing. That's wonderful. Congratulations to you both. With our four daughters, a bit of the tongue-in-cheek thing that I like to mention with us at Gateway is Ron McLean, our senior leader there, has four daughters. Peter Todd, who I took over for at Gateway South Osborne, has four daughters. And then the full anointing to be a pastor fell upon me when our fourth daughter finally came along. So we're in the running with Rob and Jackie as well, with their four kids as well. I think it's four, isn't that right? Yeah, that's what I thought. So one of the things that I also take care of at Gateway, over the last 8-9 years that we've been pastoring there, is our encounter weekends. Some of you, that's a familiar term because you've got Southland that's just down the street. We're shifting and changing the name of that to Set Free Weekends as well. And we just had back in February, it's about 10 or 12 of your leadership right here at Calvary Chapel that came to our last encounter weekend back in February. And we had a fantastic time together with them. It was such a blessing to be able to join together with your leadership so that they could see what, at least how we do it. Southland does their thing a certain way. We do ours. We got our own flavor and DNA that's a little bit more, I just say, it's a little bit more salt and light than it is other things. We've made it our own. But essentially, those weekends are really about looking at, well, how many of you know that you got to do house cleaning? It doesn't take, like in a house full of four girls, we got to do house cleaning. Otherwise, there's hair everywhere. The ladies all know what I'm talking about. And with that housekeeping that goes on, we deal with things in our life. Every single corner of our life needs to be open to Jesus. We're on a journey of healing with Jesus, and not every area of our life do we like to give to Jesus. Sometimes it's because of fear. Sometimes it's because we want to hold on to something. Sometimes it's because maybe we just like what we're doing. But Jesus came, like it says in John 10, that he came that we might have life and have it to the full, abundant life. There's not meant to be anything holding us back from walking out the journey that we can with Jesus. We just heard about it this morning, the crazy, crazy sacrifice that happened on the cross to make a way for us to enter into that abundant life. And at the weekends that we do, invite you to come out. We're doing our next one. It's just a 2-day one that we're doing in September, actually at our location, our South Osborne location. And anybody in our Salt and Light Central family of churches is welcome to come. And we deal with things that we need to do housekeeping for, things that have come to us from other places, things that have happened to us in our families. But really, it's about encountering Jesus, coming to the cross, meeting with him and hearing from him. I know that your leaders who came out had a great time. The testimonies that I heard back from them as they engaged with that particular weekend was rich. So I encourage you that when you hear that Set Free Weekend thing come up again, to put that on your radar screen. Anyway, enough of the preamble. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for this group of people here on Mackenzie, Calvary Chapel in Steinbeck, that you've placed here in this place, this time, this season, this era, this year, to accomplish things not only for their good, but for your glory in the spread and the advancement, and partnering with you here in Steinbeck to see the kingdom of God grow and to send out people from this place. The Lord, thank you for them and continue to make them fruitful. We bless them as part of our Salt and Light family. In Jesus' name, amen. So Manitoba, Manitoba is a place that is really memorable for our cold and cruel winters. It's almost cliche, isn't it? For many of us, having grown up in here, we often see it as a bit of a badge of honor, don't we? It's a little bit of something that we kind of, you know, we're a bit proud about. Yeah, we made it through. We made it through another one. And then when people are immigrants, new folks to Canada, we're like, you just wait, right? We all know the story, right? Just wait. Do you have a parka? Oh, you'll find out, right? Things like that. But growing up in this kind of environment, it also causes us to savor our summers a little bit differently than, say, someone who's grown up their entire life in California, right? It's here we have a very brief time of summer. You know, as a kid, I remember riding bikes, camping, making forts, and exploring and playing on the beach. But summer in Manitoba is a time that we kind of cherish because the prime days are really brief, aren't they? We've only got this slice of about two and a half months maybe where it's the real prime choice time to take advantage of it. When I think back to some of the amazing times as a teenager in that, I call it the golden hue that we sometimes have on our past. You know, some of our memories, that nostalgia that we hold. It's almost like some of those summers, it never seemed to rain. It's like every day just dawned more magnificent than the next one. And you wish that it would just never, ever end because it just felt so perfect. I don't know, it makes you feel a little bit, some of those days, like you died and gone to heaven. It's anybody ever had at least one of those kind of days in their life? Anybody? None of you. Okay, well, oh good, some of you. All right. Well, those kinds of times, I want to suggest to you, are a foretaste of heaven. In some ways, that's what summer's like. Summer is like a foretaste of heaven. It's a rehearsal of paradise. It's a preview of the promised land. And if you have your Bibles with you today, you can turn to Revelation chapter 22, or you got an electronic device or whatever you want to turn there. Revelation chapter 22. The chapter before in 21, going into 22, it talks about this new Jerusalem, the kingdom of God coming in its fullness. Today we know that it's kind of an already, not yet. The kingdom of God is here, Jesus said, because he's here. But there's things that we're waiting for, and that new Jerusalem is going to come in its fullness, as we read in Revelation. But I want to focus on verse 2. An image that is given to us in chapter 22 of Revelation. It says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. That's just a simple picture of an artist's thought of what that might look like. It's an amazing tree. There's probably a few things we could say about it, but it's just one tree, and it stands on both sides of a river. It bears 12 crops of fruit, it says, yielding its fruit every month. Wow, who'd like a tree like that? It seems like the progression of months seems to stay intact in God's kingdom. 1 through 12. But the cycle of seasons, at least as we know it, experience it, it seems to cease. Every month simply ushers in another month of summer. How'd you like that? Oh, how would you like that? Okay, good. See, it's endless summer in heaven. Endless summer. Jesus explicitly equates the kingdom of God with summer, in a sense. In Luke 20, 21, 29, and 31, Jesus says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Now, I'm not sure how close a connection we can make, but Jesus makes a connection or a comparison between summer and the kingdom of God. There's often words and images that we associate with summertime. There's fruitfulness and daylight and play and wonder and festival and joy and reunion and vacation. These are all kingdom experiences. The Bible describes the kingdom of heaven like a banquet, a homecoming, a joyful reunion, a true Sabbath, this full and final reprieve or finishing of all of life's grief and pain and loss. It's endless summer. When you and I are in a summertime of the heart, we experience all these kinds of things. There's vitality and connectedness, maybe rest and play and fruitfulness. There's warmth and shade. There's all sorts of daylight, and we just have a sense of delight in the time that we're in, what God's made. And it's the opposite of winter. That's important to note. It's in winter time, God and others can seem remote from us. It seems cold. It seems dark. Death feels like it's breathing down our neck. But in summer, that's where it feels like God is intimately near. And abundant life seems to be everywhere around us. In these kind of times, God is actually gifting us, bestowing on us a taste of the kingdom. He allows us to savor for a time what we're actually going to experience for eternity. We're only on this rock for a short period of time. 80, 90 years, probably somewhere in there, give or take, depending on your health and all the different statistical things. It's like that. And then we get eternity with Jesus because he's made a way. He allows us to savor this so that we'll experience a taste of eternity. A time when God is fully present, reigning in justice, in mercy. A time when there's not going to be a need for a sun or a moon because the Lord himself is going to light up everything. 24-hour daylight and worship. A time when that tree is going to be producing those 12 crops of fruit, one each month. And summers of the heart, as brief as sometimes they feel, it's just this hint of a summer in heaven that's going to have no end to it. It's glorious. So within this, there's actually an invitation to abundance. In Zechariah chapter 8, verses 1 to 23, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's this wonderful, vivid description of God coming near to his people and summer breaking forth. There's a few verses I just want to read to you from the Message paraphrase. So it might sound a little odd to you because it's a paraphrase, but it captures this season I'm talking about so vibrantly. It says this. God says, I've come back to Zion. I've moved back to Jerusalem. Old men and old women will come back to Jerusalem, sit on benches in the street and spin tales, move around safely with their canes, a good city to grow old in. People and their leaders, boys and girls, will fill all the public parks laughing and playing. It's a good city to grow up in. People and their leaders will come from all over to see what's going on, and leaders will confer with one another. Shouldn't we try to get in on this? Get in on God's blessing, what he's doing? Pray to God. What's keeping us from this? Let's go. Let's do it together. I don't know what your experience has been or what you've seen, but many people come to Christ this way. Like this town, this city that's being painted, they witness a vibrant church, a people, or a household of true Christ followers. They see life as it's actually meant to be, something that has God, Jesus, at the very center of it. They talk with somebody else. And they're like, what's going on there? What's happening in that place? But there's something drawing me towards it. Why would I want to miss this? I don't want to miss out on what I see there. I want to go towards that. And most people, when they make that decision to follow Christ, they say, yeah, let's go. They get up and they go straight into a summertime when they receive Christ into their life. I don't know if you've experienced that or you've seen other people. It's like when somebody first comes to the Lord, there's this wonderful holy bubble that people seem to find themselves in, where it's like everything's new, everything's wonderful. It doesn't mean that all their problems have gone away, not by any stretch, but it's like there's a freshness, there's a joy. The life of the Holy Spirit is in them, and it's infectious, isn't it? When you encounter somebody who's just come to the Lord, something rubs off on you, doesn't it? There's an excitement that all of a sudden rises up in you. If you want the water level of life to rise in the church, oh, new people coming to the Lord. Not only does it challenge you because you've got a disciple and you've got to work at all the things that come when people come to Christ for the first time, but there is a water level of faith that rises in the people of God as they see the joy of someone who's met Jesus for the first time and stirs something in us to go back to our first love. I think it's like God's welcome wagon gift to the kingdom. You know, when everything seems, in a sense, right and bright, everything works, the old is gone, the new has come. But another way to look at this suite of emotions and thoughts, I think, is this. After high school, I didn't go to college right away. I went into the workforce. I had all sorts of different kinds of jobs until a moment in time where the Lord called me out of the music industry that I was in, and he called me to go to Bible college. And I remember a very distinct experience my very first week at college. I'd never gone to any sort of Christian school before. I'd never grown up that way. I'd always been in the public system. That's probably many of you here. But I remember sitting in my very first class. It wasn't even a Bible class. It was psychology. And the professor addressed the class and for the first time opened the class in prayer and invited the Holy Spirit to preside over our term together. I was kind of in shock because each one of the classes that I went to, the professors started things that way. For some of you, maybe you're like, what's so strange about that? No, that was strange for me. All I did was I went to church on Sundays, maybe youth group on the weekends, things like that was my connection. But to all of a sudden be in a learning environment where Christ was exalted was strange and wonderful at the same time. I remember my first chapel. I remember tears streaming down my cheeks at just being able to worship in this environment. It was strange to me, foreign to me, but wonderful at the same time. Fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with the saints on a regular basis, wrestling with issues, learning, growing, worshiping. In that season of my life, like in others, I heard God this crystal clear. You know, almost to the point where it's like you could see Him. Every conversation I had with fellow believers and those who didn't know Christ yet, it seemed holy. Every scripture, you know, I'd get into the Word and stuff would just pop, 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 pop. Revelation coming about things that I hadn't seen before. Things that I'd read before that just I had glossed over. I didn't see in the same way. God was in my seeing, in my hearing, in my speaking, in my understanding. And He was tangibly growing fruit in my life. The world seemed light and bright and full of color. And it was warm all the time. What does that sound like to you? Summer. Summer. Right now, we don't live in perpetual summer. And we don't often live in a perpetual summer of the heart. Just like the seasons of life cycle through, the seasons can do that in our heart as well. The joy and bliss of summertime can and will be ours. And one day we will have it forever. In the natural, our kids have finished school. Our young people are out of school now. And summer holidays are here. And it's a time where we look for rest and moments of respite to just recharge the batteries. Maybe some of you here are here today and you're going, oh, I'm so far away from anything that's restful. Well, you know what? Keep listening. You might be working. I know summertime people, we all still have to work. You might get a certain chunk of holidays to be able to utilize. Maybe you've got a cabin you go to. Maybe you've got a garden you tend or heading off to some other part of the world maybe. But this is a question I want to focus on. How should we actually live in summer? How are you and I supposed to live in this particular season of life? Well, the first thing I'll suggest to you is we need to revel in summer. We need to simply enjoy it. Do you like to enjoy things? Even a little bit? Do you like to open the tap a little bit and go, "Woo!" No, I can see that right here. Not gonna got nothing. No, summer is a time we're meant to enjoy it, to warm up, to rest up. It's God's gift to you. It was ordained by a faithful God. So you can play with childlike abandonment. You can play with your kids, spend time with the grandkids. You can connect with people that you haven't seen in a while. You can maybe take a vacation, take some genuine refreshment and replenishment. Whether you're going to eat fruit or you're going to grow fruit, whether you're going to get a tan or sit in the shade, it really doesn't matter. I mean these things in the most literal and ordinary sense. But also I mean this spiritually. Kingdom life, like spiritual life, like summer living, isn't hurried. It's not a hurried pace. It actually just luxuriates in just the sheer abundance of God's goodness, His truth, His love, His mercy. It just enjoys knowing and trusting that, God, You're with me. You're caring for me. In summertime, you can live in a way that A.W. Tozer once said. He said, "Those who are in Christ share with God all the riches of limitless time and endless years. God never hurries." Did you know that? God doesn't hurry. He's always right on time. There are no deadlines against which He must work. Only to know this is to quiet our spirits and relax our nerves. For those outside of Christ, time's a devouring beast, where time crouches and purrs and licks at their hands. He's basically saying, no. As followers of Christ, we can just go, God, I'm in Your hands. I'm in Your time. You are moving me along. I want to follow You. See, kingdom life, like summer living, it's not worried, it's not anxious, even though we feel anxious and worried sometimes. It just enjoys God's goodness. It's like living when there's abundant fruit. And you know what? If I can be this bold with you this morning, I'll just say it bluntly and unpastorally. Don't waste your summer. Enjoy it. Enjoy it for whatever it is, whether there's highs or whether there's really low lows. God, I'm with You. You've got me. I'm going to enjoy it. So we revel in summer. And the second thing we do is we have to water in summer. We have to beware of dehydration in the summertime. We need water, don't we? The danger of summer is always drought, where plants and animals and people just simply aren't getting enough water. Wilma and I, well, more Wilma than I, pot plants and hanging baskets and stuff like that around our yard. And there's times of the summer where you can water things in the morning and it's so hot out that things evaporate and you actually have to go around in the evening and water them again because it's just been so hot out. Things dry out in the scorching heat. And in summer, we like to play and we like to rest, but we do something in this season that we don't do the same way in others. We water things. Have a look at that picture. See, you hold the glory of God in broken clay jars, or these cracked pots in the hands of the Lord. You leave these kind of footprints, these wet footprints, wherever you walk. You know, we hold this glory thinly in a sense because we dry out quick. We need a continuous inpouring of God's Holy Spirit and His Word. When we have that flow coming into it, that's the kind of footprints you and I are meant to leave behind where we walk. Amen? You see, even Jesus, when He was talking about the parable of the seed and the sower in Mark 4, verses 6, Jesus said that one of the big threats to fruitfulness isn't a lack of warmth and light, but too much of it. It says, when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered away. Plants that were on that dry ground, they didn't have any water. They didn't have something pouring into them to sustain them. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God's Word filling us and replenishing us. I'm not quite sure what the preaching schedule has looked like here over the last while or what's been preached on, but I know that this core of leaders knows that we need the Holy Spirit to do anything of eternal and lasting value. We need to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk through our daily life with purpose and with power. And we want to be a kind of people that wherever we walk, wouldn't it be kind of cool just to walk through Steinbeck and just see a whole bunch of wet sidewalks? Because this is what was going on. Perhaps it is in a spiritual sense already. You know, I've challenged folks at Gateway South Osborne about this as well in the midst of summer. And I just want to encourage you in it as well to water your soul in God's Word and invite the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh this summer with His power. Summertime, in the most natural and in the spiritual sense, is a fantastic time for intentional, just doing nothing, some inactivity. It's fantastic. Resting and the playing I was talking about. But the one thing you cannot neglect is water. That life of the prayer and being in the Word. So take some good books with you over the summer. Enrich your soul and passion for Jesus. In this summer, beware of drying out. I don't know if there's any farmers that are here right now, but you know that you can't waste your summer. You've got to use the time that you've been given. When the time's right, you water. When the time's right, you harvest. When the time's right, you sow. All of those things. It is that way when you're in this season of summertime with the Lord as well. Make every moment count. So we got to water. A third thing is we need to gather in summer. First fruits, we gather in summer. Proverbs 10:5 says this: "He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son." Oh, I like that. "He who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son." Oh, I don't like that so much. Don't you love those proverbs that kind of give you that back and forth and you go, oh, I really don't want to be like that. Or isn't that harsh? Oh, isn't that? It's kind of like this proverb. "He who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son." Well, there are crops to be gathered in the summertime. We don't just lie around at home the whole time just sipping iced tea. These crops are called first fruits. Whether it's the apples on the tree that are coming off, whether it's the first corn in the field, the Bible says that these things belong to God. In the Old Testament, we read about first fruits belonging to God and being given to Him. In a spiritual new covenant sense with Christ, these are the things that God gives to us and we give back to God. One expression of that was the offering being taken this morning. Simply recognizing, God, You have blessed us. And out of joy in our hearts, we're blessing and giving back to You what's already Yours. Those first fruits that You've brought to us. See, when you're in the summertime of the heart, don't sleep through it. Isn't that the tendency sometimes when you get to the cottage finally? You might totally need that rest. Take it. But don't sleep your entire summer away. There are things that God wants to do in you while you're resting. Be attentive. Be attentive to God's best for you and your best given to God. I had a powerful picture from one of our elders' wives about going into this particular summer. And the picture that she gave was she saw this garment and it was, there was a whole bunch of jewels that the Lord was sewing into this garment to create value. And they were just kind of being sewn all over in different places to create this beautiful, beautiful, valuable garment for someone to wear. And what we took out of that was there are these precious stones, these gems that of truth, revelation, goodness, God meeting with you, that He wants to sow into your life this summer. Don't miss them. Seek God. Pursue Him. He doesn't want you to just kind of skid through this summer and bump through, whether it's wonderful or whether it's horrible. He still wants you to be able to see Him in the midst of all you're walking through. And in the midst of it, He's sowing things into your life, sowing things into your heart. The point is, be expectant this summer. Be ready to gather and absorb how the Lord wants to bless and encourage you. And be ready to give it back to Him in worship with an obedient heart and in service of what He's given to you. You know what I love about this? Is that we get all the good, and in the process, He gets all the glory. Isn't that amazing? All the things that He wants coming into our life, He wants Himself to be the one and only source for our life and everything in it. He wants to be that source. And He can be that source because He's got everything. And in the process of us turning from the things that we're concerned with, the little mud puddle we're playing in over here, the ditch we fell into on that side, whatever it might look like for us, as soon as we turn and we gaze at Jesus, all of a sudden, like the song goes, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And in that process, that exchange of our way for His way, I call that the great exchange, because we get all the benefit of Him. And in the process, He gets all the glory for having done it. And we didn't have anything to do with it at all. That's why He gets all the glory for it. That's amazing to me. So gather in summer. And lastly, we need to prune in summer. We usually prune the big trees and stuff like that in the fall, but there are things that we need to do in the summer to take a snip to those leaves that are going on whether it's in the garden or wherever it might be. But there's one life lesson that I'd like to pass on to you that has become a key thing for me to recognize in my own life. And it's this simple phrase: don't mistake leafiness for fruitfulness. Don't mistake leafiness for fruitfulness. No matter what age you are, we always need pruning. Until we get home, till we get to use that passport and get the final stamp to heaven in it, we're always going to need pruning. That's just this life here and being transformed into looking more and more like Jesus each day. I know someone who over a decade ago planted or built one of those arbors in the back of their garden. You know those things that wedding couples stand in front of, and they take all sorts of great pictures in somebody's back garden, got all the flowers and leaves and everything on them. Well, he planted that or built that because he wanted to plant some grapes, and he wanted grapes to cover this arbor. So he went to the greenhouse, asked the lady, "What are the best, most sweetest grapes that I can get?" So she showed him, said, these ones, if you treat them right, they will taste like candy. So he planted them, he lovingly tended them, cared for them, saw them grow, and they got all sinewy and grew into everything. The leaves bloomed out, the grape cluster started to hang, the thick trunks were there and working through the lattice of the arbor. And every year, it's amazing to me, because he said, yeah, for 10 years he did it this way, waiting, eagerly anticipating these dense clusters of grapes. And every single year he was disappointed at what he tasted. He'd wait till they looked dark and ready. They were just all plump and ready. Then he'd pick up one and he'd pop it in his mouth. Who knows what happened? Who's experienced this? That pucker, that bitterness, bitter as a stone, hard as a stone. It was like he was sucking on a lemon. And they were always this way. And then finally, he asked one of the ladies next door, a bit of a green thumb. I don't know if there's any green thumbs here. But asked, "What am I doing wrong? What on earth is going wrong?" And for those of you who are green thumbs here, what did he find out? Anybody? What? You got to prune those vines. Yeah, in fact, she said, you actually need to cut back the leaves around the grapes to let the sun at the fruit. That's what's going to get the fruit all ripened and ready to go. For 10 years, he'd been without. He liked the leaves. He liked all the leafiness around his arbor. It looked wonderful. People came by, and like I said, they took the wedding pictures and all that kind of stuff. Has this cooling shade, looks wonderful. But all that leafiness was meaningless without the pruning. In fact, Jesus cursed a fig tree with leaf, and that wasn't bearing any fruit. In the end, that abundance of leafiness doesn't mean anything. It's by our fruit that we're known. So maybe you can apply it this way. We can get spiritually and physically busy in the summer in ways that make us feel productive, make us feel like we're doing something, but make sure that there's something else growing in that busyness. Whatever it takes, if you must, sacrifice the leaves for greater fruit. Whatever the Lord's got his finger on. Have you ever felt that, where you're walking along and all of a sudden, you know, like those little hotel bells, bing, oh, something I need to take care of. Or all of a sudden it's like the Lord's finger is on something in your heart and there's a pressure there that just won't go away and you know you need to deal with it. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to the Lord and walk through it with him. Allow him to come along and prune some of those things off. Deal with them so that greater fruit can come. Let that fruit just mature in the light of God's presence by removing anything that would get in the way of that sweet and lasting fruit. You know, I do have to admit, I have to acknowledge that some of you might be sitting here and saying, you know what, I don't feel like I'm anywhere near a summertime in my heart. You might be finding it even tough to pray with any sense of meaning or faith. Well, I felt to encourage you as a body in two ways, if that's where you're at. The first is this. Some seasons are longer than others, but they do change. They change. Every time we look out the window and we see those new green shoots coming up in spring, every time we see the leaves turning in the fall, every time that first snowfall comes down in the wintertime, you know what? It reminds us of God's faithfulness to us. It's his faithfulness. It's like the great old hymn, right? Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Right? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness to you, whatever season you find yourself in. And as you trust him, as you follow him, he will be as faithful to you today as he has always been to see you through. Don't forget that. The seasons in your life will change. And he will continue to be your ever help, present help in time of need, in and out of season. And second, whether you feel far or near to the Lord, or you feel like, wow, I'm entering this summer with great joy and anticipation, I just want to end by praying over you an old, an ancient, a very familiar blessing that has been a sign and a seal over my own life of the goodness of God. And I just invite you to receive it as you head into your own summer. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his glorious smile upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Thanks so much for letting me share.